This is Carolyn Cromings, and welcome to the Quit Getting Screwed podcast, where we talk about everything related to contractors, construction, and information to help you run better businesses. Hey guys, and welcome to the Quit Getting Screwed podcast. Today I have Drew Addison of IBTX, and we're going to talk about everything bonds, as in surety bonds for your projects that are required on public works and the likes. How are you doing today, Drew?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. And, you know, Drew is a place where you can get a bond, and all his information will be in the info on the show. So if you have any questions or anything after that, just make sure to look down there and find his contact information. So before we get into all things bond and legal related, Drew, tell me about yourself. Where are you originally from?
So I grew up in Corpus Christi, actually, and you can actually see some guitars behind me. So I actually grew up in a small part of Corpus Christi called Flower Bluff. And after graduating high school, started into college pretty immediately at Del Mar College, and then dropped out not too long after that to become a rock star. So I did that for about 10 years, got to tour around the country, do some really cool things, and then kind of bounced around, lived in Houston, lived in Austin. Kind of did that thing, and then got engaged and moved to San Antonio, and she got me on the right track. So I went back and finished my degree at UTSA. Funny enough, I ended up starting to work with IBTX when I first moved to San Antonio, and my fiance at the time said that there's a job board by UTSA, so check it out, see if there's any jobs on there. And IBTX was on there. I shot my resume over to him. And this is in 2012, and they hired me, just doing data entry, and started there, and have been with IBTX ever since.
And now you're what, the vice president of surety?
Yeah, vice president of surety. So I bounced around within the organization a little bit. So I started, like I said, a data processing, very basic entry-level job, and then moved over to support account manager on the PNC side, did some logistics on our risk management. So we do safety and HR services as well. So I did some logistics and scheduling there, and then a position came up in the surety department, and I jumped on it. And I fell in love with it. I mean, it's such a small niche industry. I've always been kind of, you know, I feel pretty fortunate enough that, you know, jumping into an industry that's so small, not a whole lot of people know what it is. I mean, it's not like something that, you know, whenever you're sitting in your finance class, your professor says, you should go into surety bonds. Like, anytime I tell somebody, hey, I work in surety bonding, they're like, oh, so when I get arrested, you can bail me out of jail. It's like, no.
Yeah.
Don't call me. Call your lawyer.
I love UTSA. They have so many great programs, especially for entrepreneurs and free resources that, I mean, it really is. I've done a couple talks there and workshops.
Absolutely.
So did you ever have any background in construction?
So actually, when I lived in Houston, I worked as a roofing contractor. So I worked all throughout the city. I did majority of my work in the Woodlands. So it was after Hurricane Ike had rolled through. So I was one of those roofers that was going around helping people with their insurance claims and getting their roofs bought and replaced. So I was running around door-to-door sales pretty much and going through and lining up projects that way. I remember, I'll never forget the experience of being on top of those roofs, probably about a six or seven 12 slope. It's pretty intense, probably three or four stories off the ground in the middle of July, and it's 120 something degrees on the roof. But so I did that for a little while. But, you know, as far as any sort of like heavy construction, and most of my stuff's been residential. I'm I guess kind of what you call a YouTube contractor around my house anyway.
I think any good husband is, right, in my experience.
Right, yeah.
But I mean, exactly. There's a different perspective. I think people who have worked in construction, whether it's roofing or what it is, as opposed to most lawyers that have never worked in construction, have a different perspective. And I'm sure it's the same in the surety world. Like, they're just selling insurance as where you know what it's like for the guy on the roof. Mm-hmm. And so that being said, like, if somebody is required to get a bond and they have no idea what it is, what would you explain to them? What is a bond and how does it work?
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of information, and I've sat through countless surety bond 101 lunch and learns enough to know that they all say the exact same thing. So I mean, I can go into the 3 C's spiel and all that good stuff, but the main point of this is that there is different points of surety. You know, what I work with day in, day out is on the contract surety side. And that is with the, you know, construction contracts, right? So my position, we're the broker. So we're the middleman between the contractors and the surety company. And so I think it's really important for people to realize, or contractors to realize, and I try to clear this up as quickly as I can when I began working with contractors, is that, you know, anytime that you come to me looking for a bond, or if a bond is required for you to do work, that it's not there to, we're not creating a coverage for you. The bond is being required by the owner or the general contractor you're doing work for. And they're doing that to protect themselves, not you. But my job is to pre-qualify the contractors that have that bond requirement from a financial capacity level, you know, their ability to be able to perform the work. And we can break down into the different types of underwriting, but you know, the main key is it's basically performance and finance security protection for the owner or the general contractor going out and doing work for.
And the bond is not insurance. So
no.
If somebody tries to file a claim on your bond, it's not going to just be paid and you'll never hear about it again, right?
Yeah, the last thing that you want is a default. And really, whenever you step into the surety bonding side of work, it is a big step. And there is a significant amount of risk that these contractors are taking on. And I think that, you know, in our industry, there hasn't been a real good job on explaining, you know, what kind of contract they're entering when it comes to the surety bonded work. You know, in Texas, we are a homestead state. So typically, whenever I work with a contractor, we find a program for them to place with whatever surety company that they fit with. The next step comes is the general indemnification agreement. And it's extremely important that contractors read through their GIA so they understand what risks that they're taking on. Because I really believe, and through the countless amount of contractors I've spoken to that have worked with other agencies and whatnot, it hasn't really been explained to them what exactly it is that they're signing. Because the general indemnification is your contract with the surety company, basically stating, if you default, here's what's going to happen, right? And it's kind of, it's a reality check, because let's say worst case scenario, there's a default, and the only way to satisfy this default is for the surety company to step in and pay for the job to get completed. Well, you know, if you as the contractor signing that personal indemnification agreement, the surety company is going to come back. It is not if, they are going to come back and get that money back from you. Now they're going to start with your company financials first, but then you've also signed personally. So if you do not have the assets within your company, they can actually go after you personally. Now in Texas, like I mentioned, Texas is a homestead state. So your house is protected, and your 401k is okay because of the law. But everything else is on the table. It is very much, there's a lot of skin in the game. So, you know, I think it's important for contractors to realize that whenever you jump into this side of the work, that you fully understand what it is that you're taking on, that you understand that, you know, the capacity, the underwriting is there to, no surety company wants to go after you personally. That's the last thing any surety company wants to do. But, you know, they have to have that lever in place for the cases that they don't have a way to pay for it. So the underwriting that is performed before you go into this work, they do a very in-depth financial underwriting.
Which, that was my question. If I was going to come to you as a contractor and I needed a bond, what would you need from me?
Yeah. So there's different levels of programs. So, you know, assuming that, you know, like we prefer to have at least 3 years of job experience, or at least the company being alive for at least 3 years, so we have some financials to track, right? And we can start with in-house financials, balance sheet, income statement, work on hands, ARs, AP agings, all that is really important. But before you do any of that, I would just strongly suggest to go ahead and do your due diligence and look for a good construction CPA that understands how to help you do your internal financials and help them explain it. I would say a lot of what I do day in, day out is help contractors understand what percentage of completion accounting is. because that is the accounting basis of which construction is done, right?
Okay.
And nine times out of 10, when I get the financials in, they are not percentage of completion accounting. So find a good construction CPA. If you don't have time to do it, which is, again, about 9/10 of my job, that everything's needed like yesterday, submit your in-house financials. What we do internally at IBTX is we actually do internal underwriting ourselves. So we can basically show you exactly what your financials are saying, what it is that you actually qualify for, and then what a game plan is moving forward, right? And then if you need connections, if you need to find a good construction CPA or a good construction lender, any to set up your line of credit with the bank, we can facilitate all that as well. But it starts off with at least 3 years of fiscal year end financials. All the information that you could submit on your company, you know, websites are great and all, but what really kind of gets them on the capacity side is getting some references that the surety companies can tap into or can give a call on your largest projects, which is really important. Next is going to be your personal financial statement, because again, you're personally indemnifying. So they want to take a look at your personal financials. They'll break everything out there. You know, there's contractor questionnaires, things like that. But what I would suggest is to get the last three fiscal year and financials and your personal financials in order, so we can at least start there and help you build a pile.
So from like on a normal basis, which is probably most of your clients don't have, it takes them a while to get all that ready. And so once they give it to you, how long does that approval process normally take?
I mean, again, you know, a lot of what I do when a new client comes over, it's normally in a hurry. So bonds are needed probably like yesterday. I would strongly suggest that any contractors that are listening to try to give us at least a week, if not two, to work through it. And especially in order to help you negotiate the right deal and get you placed with the right surety, because I don't want to do anything in haste, because a lot of times when our back's up against the walls, the options may be limited. And we want to give you the best shot possible. We want to be able to understand exactly what it is that we're submitting. So I would want at least a week or two to work on you, but I have gotten bonds executed on the same day. So it can be turned around relatively quickly, but.
So the rule is like, if you want to start like public works, or you're thinking about getting into something that requires the bond, you know, let's start early. And then, because it's better to have a relationship with you and not need it than to not have one at all, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, and the relationship is key. And yeah, that goes back to, you know, going back to the three C's of surety, and one of the C's being character. And so underwriting the financials is kind of the black and white side. But unlike most other financial institutions, the underwriting on surety, there's a significant amount of gray area that is underwritten as well, right? So you have your financials that are there, your capacity, which so that's capital. Then you have your capacity, which is have you done projects of this size before? Are you capable to handle a project that's maybe a little bit larger than what you've done before? So we want to take a look at all your internal processes and see how they jive. And then there's the third C, which is the character. Character is you personally. Like, what is your personality like? Do you fly off the handle, or are you kind of a loose cannon? Are you calm, cool, and collected? All of that is considered. So whenever you're firing off those emails with all the exclamation points and all caps, you need to make sure that all that is being taken into consideration at all times. And it's really important.
So it's like an interview and a thorough scope.
Exactly, exactly. So yeah, and part of what we do at IBTX too, so you know, I mentioned that we do the internal underwriting. So over the last couple of years, I developed basically an internal underwriting system that I can mimic what most of the surety companies are looking at as far as it pertains to the underwriting process itself. And then whenever I place you with a surety company, then I can adjust how we're underwriting to be a little bit tighter to what the actual underwriter is doing. And that mostly falls on the current assets that are listed on there. And that's a whole other discussion. But what we like to do is be able to not only show you, I feel like there's been this huge disconnect of communication between the underwriters and the contractors, where the contractor's coming in saying, you know, I want to get this, I need to get this bond approved, or I've got this project, I need a bond. And then chances are, you know, if it gets declined, it's not really explained really well as to why it was declined. That said, when it comes to requesting your first bond, it's important that you get in touch with a good agent that can basically help you outline what size project you'd be approved for. Because if you come to me and, you know, the financials are not quite there yet, or, you know, your largest project was maybe $100,000, but you're coming asking for a $2 million project, it's probably not going to happen the first go around. Right. So it's really important that you understand exactly what your financials are saying, so we can help you do that. But then at the same time, I want to make sure that we place you with the right underwriter. I think personality is very important. You know, just like the underwriter takes your personality as a business owner, I take their personality as an underwriter, want to match you with the right one. So that's really kind of our process in a nutshell.
So, what happens, how involved are you? Like, say you have a client that got a bond for the first time and someone files a claim. Mm-hmm. What should they do? Can they call you? What's the process?
Yeah, 100%. And that's really, really important. I mean, typically we can kind of see it come in, assuming when we deal with the underwriting, the work on hands are also underwritten. So we can kind of see potential issues before they really kind of come to fruition. And then at the same time, we're doing those quarterly too, right? So every 3 months, we want to get an update. We want to see where everything is at. We want to make sure that profit margins are sticking to where they're at, that there's no bleeding anywhere. And then we want to talk through what the work on hand is and stay on top of the bond projects that are bonded. Now, if we do see a problem coming, the sooner you let me know, the sooner that we can create a plan, right? And let's say in this case, especially as it pertains to your book and what you suggest is, you know, that everything is on a timeline when it comes to, like, if I bonded a subcontractor and he's not getting paid, we'll obviously see that on the financials. The ARs, we're going to be seeing them not being paid, and we want to be able to help them rectify that. So what we want to do is make sure that, number one, where are they at on the timeline for submitting claim? And then we do have some resources when it comes to the actual notice itself. But if it looks like it's going to be even remote amount sticky, we want to get them in contact with a good construction attorney, which, again, is one of the primary resources that every contractor should have, is a good construction attorney.
Along with a good surety. And so you're doing all these checks like quarterly. So you're actually helping them run a better business. You're just not giving them a bond.
Right. Yeah. So and that's really kind of what the underwriting report that we generate for our clients does, right? It's a really sound, solid cash flow analysis. All right. So money in, money out. Is a contractor bleeding anywhere? Is there anything that we can help them from a process standpoint to help them retain as much money as they can? Because working capital is key. So those that don't know what working capital is, that's your current asset minus your current liabilities. But when it comes to surety, we take a look at your current assets and we come to an agreement between myself and the underwriter as to what current assets are actually truly current. And then at that point, once we come to that agreement, then they do the calculation current assets minus current liabilities. I like to call it a current asset ratio analysis. So basically it gives you your analyzed working capital number. We want to help the contractors more from a business development standpoint, because, you know, my opinion is if you're just needing to get your bonds on time and everything else like that, for me, that's just par for the course. I mean, every agent should be able to do that for you. And, you know, I have arguably the best team in Texas. Every one of my team members has over 20 years experience in surety. So when it comes to the service side of things, I would venture to say, again, we're probably one of the best in Texas. But from a business development standpoint, that's really kind of where we shine, that added value of coming in and showing the contractors, hey, we want to be a partner in this. And we want you to do better. And we want to create opportunities to help your business grow. We want you to grow safe. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, and we see it quite a bit. We've heard the horror stories of companies growing too fast. And, you know, there's checks and balances for that, too. And making sure that everything is handled in a safe way. And at the same time, when it comes to managing the projects themselves, you know, assuming that, you know, something does come down the line, if a claim does happen on a bond and a surety company is notified, which they always will be, it's important that, you know, we have a sit down discussion with the surety company and say, here's what the game plan is, because they don't want to pay the claim just like anybody else. Right. So, you know, we want to be able to come up with a game plan together and open up that line of communication. And that's really, really what our forte is creating that line of communication, becoming a business partner with our clients and helping them grow their business.
Because I've said that, you know, I've dealt with bond companies and sureties and of my clients. And, you know, obviously by the time I'm there, it's not a good situation. But I have never seen anything like that.
Sure.
Usually, like, I've gone to mediation with a bond company and it's me and my client in one room, the general contractor in the other room, and the bond company over in another room, trying to figure out, you know, what he's going to do and what, you know, liability my client ends up having, even if it's right, wrong, or indifferent. So that's really something amazing that I've never heard of. Just a quick question, I didn't ask you before. Do you do like lien indemnity bonds too, or just surety bonds? Or does your company do like, if somebody needed a bond around a lien?
Yeah. So we do offer all those, right? So like even when it comes to your municipality bonds, you know, right-of-way bonds, over-axle bonds, things like that, we actually have a really good online system for a lot of those smaller license and permit bonds. You go to our website and find the one that you're looking for, general contractor bonds, things like that. You can get your bond automatically emailed to you in a matter of like 5 minutes. Now, when it comes to the lien bonds, we do have markets for that as well. You know, so and what's important to know about those, and I actually was working on one just yesterday. What is really important for lien bonds and establishing a relationship with a surety company is that, let's say there's a lien that's filed and you, the owner of the company is saying, you know, you as the contractor need to post a bond around this lien, and you don't have a relationship with a surety company, we can still get you a lien bond, but more often than not, the surety company is going to ask for 100% collateral on that deal.
Yeah.
Right. And when it comes to these bonds, it's not just 100% of the claim amount. It's going to be for 1.5 to 2 times the claim amount. Right. So that, and that can be a significant amount of money that you're going to have to lock up for however long it takes to go through litigation. But, you know, if you do have a contract surety relationship with a surety company, sometimes we can talk through working with them about removing the requirement for collateral, which kind of makes that process a whole lot easier. Lien bonds aren't the easiest to write, but we do have markets for that.
Gotcha. And then another thing that if, you know, having a relationship with you would be so beneficial, because those things, you can't just show up and say, I need a lien bond. That's not how it works, unless you just want to post all the cash, you know, which you might still have to do anyways, especially if you don't have that relationship. I just see how, you know, my clients who have a relationship with sureties, how much easier it is for them. They say they need a bond and like 2 days later they can get one because they already have that relationship. So much easier. Another thing I want to ask you, you are also the host of the Head of the Game podcast. And I want to kind of ask you like, who's your audience and where does everybody find that?
Yeah, so Ahead of the Game Construction Podcast is done by myself and a colleague of mine, Warren Spiewak, out of our Houston office. And that whole podcast was kind of born, like, so Warren is a hired gun by the Oil and Gas Global Network out in Houston, right? So he had some experience in the podcast game and still works for OGGN. But he was like, you know, we should put together a podcast. And I was like, you know what? Out of all the conversations that I've had with contractors, like I sometimes wish that we had the ability to record those conversations and be able to like share them with the construction industry, because there's so many great stories about how companies started and, you know, hit those roadblocks and those hurdles, and how they were able to pivot, move around, and navigate around those circumstances. And so I told Warren, I was like, you know what? I've been wanting to do this, and we started Ahead of the Game Construction Podcast to basically interview construction companies and basically go through their story and let them be heard. You know, because I mean, a lot of times these successful construction companies, a lot of people just see their big billboards on the side of the road next to their job sites. And, you know, some of these smaller contractors like, man, you know, it must be nice to be able to have those big jobs like that. Well, we want to be able to tell the stories of those general contractors that are doing really well and have been extremely successful, and, you know, have them talk through what their experience was when they were a small contractor themselves, where they were that guy that started their company in their kitchen and had 2 trucks and started their company. And whenever we get into these conversations with the contractors, I like to really kind of dive into the tough circumstances that they run into. And interestingly enough, you'll find so many correlating stories of a lot of the same hurdles that these guys were hitting, which are going to be a lot of the same hurdles that our demographic of listeners that are hitting right now. And so it's a perspective for them to kind of sit back and listen to, successful contractors that have been through it and lived to tell about it, and really provide their the story. And you can find the podcast where, you know, we're on LinkedIn. You can look up Ahead of the Game Construction Podcast. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. And then aheadofthegamepodcast.com is the website. And you can get in there and check out some of the episodes we have, including the last one we just published was with you, Carolyn, which is such a great episode. I really love it. But yeah, so we're all the socials. So hit us up.
No, I agree. There's just so much information that could lessen somebody's pain point based on your own experience and just getting that information out there
100%.
or ways to help them, you know, and so they don't have to go through the same thing as you did and lose time, lose money, lose, you know, and realize that all of those big companies did start someplace small.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, they have a lot of things that happen to those guys.
Yeah. So it's so many great stories.
So we'll put your info in the bio, but what's your website and your stuff? If people need bonds, need to contact you, need help in the surety world, how can they get a hold of you?
The agency is IB, as in boy, TX, IBTX. So www.ib-tx.com. Yeah, we have all the information on there. We're a full service agency. We do PNC, employee benefits, HR and safety services. We do trainings, HR and safety trainings. Obviously, we do surety. We're working on some really, really great new coverages. I've kind of spent the last year expanding on the surety department to include, there's project loss insurance, which is basically an insurance for your backlog. And then subcontractor default insurance, which is used to be SubGuard. That was a Liberty Mutual tool, but has been expanded since then. We are actually working on parametric insurance coverage, so weather delay coverage. We have a couple markets that we're working with to create the coverage, but we do have somebody internally. It's a really cool service to where we can basically do a weather forecast over X amount of time of a contract, so you can see if you have enough adverse weather days in your contract. But we a little bit of everything. But
oh, wow.
Yeah, look us up on ib-tx.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, Andrew Drew Addison. Just search me and hit me up and be happy to help answer any questions. If you're interested in even in an underwriting report, just to kind of see where you're at, I'm happy to do that for you at no cost. Just reach out. Let me know you're interested and I'll be happy to help you.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate your time so much. Thank you so much for being here. And I know you've answered a lot of my questions, so I'm sure you've answered a lot of our listeners' questions. And I'm sure we'll have you on again to talk about something just as exciting. Thank you, Drew.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And reach out to us and be happy to help. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Quit Getting Screwed. I hope you found it helpful. If you like what you hear, please like us and follow our podcast. If you want further information, you can find us at subcontractorinstitute.com. We're also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And the book is available on Amazon. Tune in 2 weeks from now for a new episode. Thank you.